Hey, everybody. We have two very special guests this week, Chip Chandry and Brian Posehn. So you can check out Brian this weekend. Chip is headlining Wednesday, November 19th at 8 p.m. at Helium also. Go to heliumcomedy.com. Be sure to check out those shows. I'm sure they're going to be amazing. And just enjoy the show with Chip and Brian.
Hey, guys.
Oh, big gulps, huh?
All right. Well, see you later.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast. We have a very special guest on the line.
Let me introduce literally my favorite comedian alive right now, Bill Burr. How are you, Bill?
Hey, what's going on?
The one and only Rich Eisen.
Sports is a lot safer than Christian Mingle.
Well, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a Jew.
Without further ado, the one and only best-selling author, popular radio show host, Jim Norton.
What a rookie I am. You're listening, I just interrupt.
You know him from The Man Show and Loveline, the godfather of podcasts himself, Adam Carolla.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very special guest. Used to be from Opie and Anthony, now from the Anthony Cumia Show. Anthony Cumia.
Look at that. What an intro. Jesus.
Smooth as silk.
Like, I thought I'd be on hold for the next segment while you talk to this wonderful person.
I was checking the specs on the end line for the rotary girder. I'm retarded.
Welcome to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, Shelton Still Likes Blackberries, episode 71, Evgeny Malkin. How do you like that, Paul?
Oh.
Pittsburgh Penguins?
Yeah.
Active player, that's the only one I could pull. So, he was on, like, I was looking at the list of, like, best players that played, that wore whatever number, and he was already on that list, which, what the hell?
I remember him.
Oh, no.
He got a lot of money.
Big Daddy Wilkinson.
He got a lot of money.
Oh, domestic abuse history. Apparently, he beats his wife
or
girlfriend.
Yeah, he beat the hell out of his wife.
Okay, so anyway, little technical difficulties in the background. So welcome to episode 71. Very multiple special guests, but very special guests in the studio.
I'm Chopped Liver.
And Shelton's here.
I am.
And I'm the onions to go along with that.
Boom.
Yeah, exactly.
We got an old dish.
Are you a pate, though, or what?
Pate.
Chopped Liver, right?
Doesn't that usually kind of that, pate? I saw that Top Chef children's thing, and the little girl was like nine.
Chef,
whatever, her name. She was 9 years old, and she made chicken liver pate.
Did she really?
The fuck, nice. Who knows how to do that at 9 years old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody that's
so
on a show with Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah,
Gordon
Ramsay. Yeah. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do shit with chicken livers.
That was our food part of the
show. Yeah, food right
there.
You
gotta check that off the list. It's Comedy Food Sports.
Like, I'm in my 30s, and I just learned. Like, it was recently, for the first time, I cracked an egg without taking the Lord's name in vain. I've just learned. I've
no
been shell, able to do that.
Yeah, no shells.
Yeah.
It's, it's terrible.
Took years of lessons.
Ways to even feel worse about yourself.
Yeah. 9 years old. I'm like, what even, how do you even become like you like chicken liver pate and not like, I'm going to make a dish.
Yeah, pretty much. So Chip is here. Chip Chandry, by the way.
Here.
I did not already
present.
Introduce you. Present.
Present.
Chip will be headlining Helium November 19th at 8 o'clock. Go to heliumcomedy.com. I'm sure it's going to be a great show. When's the last time you headlined there?
It's been, I've done some little off nights, but it's been a while. So I'm glad to be back. I headlined Buffalo this summer. So
nice.
So this is the first time back in Philly to headline for a while. So it's good. And I just found out that Jim Ginty is hosting and Mary Rudzinski is going to be featuring for me. So which is like a fun show. And then Jim Grammond, your friend of the show, Jim Grammond, is going to be coming on and doing a feed with me where he and I used to do a thing on my old show where he and I go back and forth, kind of like a Twitter war, like a hashtag war type thing where we come up with our own hashtags.
Right.
And so he's going to come out during my set.
Nice.
At one point, we're going to go back and forth.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do a little battle.
Yeah. Didn't you do something like that for your CD?
Yeah. I did. Yeah. It came out for my CD. So we're reprising that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. What the hell was I going to say? Jim Ginty is really, really funny.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
So we judged the last 2 years of the Helium Comedy Contest.
Right.
Did you do the finals last year?
I did the finals this year. No.
Just this year.
Yeah, this
we didn't do the finals last year. When you won, we just did the semis.
You people had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. We were going to take credit for it.
We leave nothing.
Shelton got a lot of shit for not advancing Mary last year. That somehow it was totally his fault.
Of course.
Three judges.
Three judges was my fault.
Like, oh, there's a black guy. We'll blame him.
That guy right there.
But Jim was, I did one of the nights with Jay. I couldn't, I was actually in the contest, didn't make it past the first round, but that's neither here nor there. but so I just sat in with Jay, but I couldn't actually technically judge. But Jim was the funniest guy that night. Like,
oh, Jim, Jim was great.
Amazingly
so funny.
Funny.
I mean, when I won, he came in second, and and Pat House came in third. And like, I kind of felt like, I mean, you never know if you're going to win or not. And I'm never like confident that I'm going to win. Yeah. But like, Pat House and Ginty both had like killer sets, and I was very happy with my set. So when they always announce the top three, and they said Pat House is third, and I'm like, all right. I was like, and I was like, if you know, there's eight other people, but like when they called second place and they said Jim Ginty, I was like, I have it. I was like, if I can beat anybody, if I can beat Ginty, I can beat anybody.
Yeah,
it was
kind
of like, because he had such a baller set that.
Nice. Yeah, we so when we judged, you weren't there the night I judged, but
no, I was there.
The first. So the 8 o'clock show was awful. Like, good comedians, but it was just a bad show.
Oh, and
like,
the,
even Heskey hosted, and he didn't even, like, he always kills, and he didn't do that well.
Yeah.
And then, Mary advanced that night, and she did, like, solid. Like, I know she's really funny. It just wasn't, I don't think it was necessarily her best set, but one guy, the second show, there was literally, like, 7 of the 10 I would have advanced if I could have. It was amazing.
It's great.
Eric Terrell.
Very funny guy.
Yeah, like, he was, like 5 applause breaks in 7 minutes type thing. It was unbelievable.
And I can't remember. Yeah. I think I was on the early show that year, and it was really bad, and it was really weird.
Yeah.
And I had a really horrible, I felt like I had a horrible set.
Yeah.
The earlier shows usually have that
weird
vibe.
That weird vibe.
It's just like everyone's like kind of getting off work.
Yeah.
And they just like not into it.
And it's
it.
Like 7:45.
Yeah.
Right?
And actually, you know what I did was, it was the year that I won. I had my girlfriend was there and everything. I did my semifinal round.
Yeah.
Had a horrible set, and I was like, well, I'm not advancing. Yeah. I left because I had already booked a gig with UPenn.
Yeah.
I do this UPenn gig with David James, and I usually do it every year for like the first week of school. Okay. And it's like a good money gig, so it was like I couldn't say no to it. So I left figuring, well, I didn't advance, and I just took off and went to Penn. And I got a text when I was at Penn. I was like, congratulations, you advanced.
Really?
Oh.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
You didn't even come up on
stage. David on here, by the way, sometime. David James? He is a good friend of my friend, one of the guys who I play football with.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they went to college together. And we met when he won the Phillies Funniest.
David James, former roommate of mine. We lived together for two long years.
I was gonna say, I can't imagine that house. You guys must have been pulling pranks on each other.
It was ridiculous. But my favorite thing about living with David James, this is going back probably 5 or 6 years ago now. Wow.
Yeah.
It feels old. We lived in Devon area, kind of by Villanova.
Yep.
He had this apartment. His roommate moved out, so I moved in. And do you remember Steve Gerben? Do you guys remember Steve?
No.
He was a comedian. He doesn't do comedy anymore. One of the funniest people I know. He won Philly's Funniest. David won the first year.
Yeah.
Steve won the second year.
Okay.
And Steve doesn't do comedy anymore, but super funny and a horrible human being. And his old roommate, Drew, this indie guy, would come over on Sundays, and we'd either watch the football game or they would come after the football game. And Sunday nights was my favorite part of the week because the four of us would just sit there for like 3 hours and drink and watch TV and just try to make the other ones feel, not even joke, just make each other feel horrible about ourselves.
Nice.
Like, we would just lay into each other so bad.
It was like the
and it just got awful. And it was so much fun.
It was like the back room of the Comedy Cellar, like just with Patrice and Jim Norton and all that.
I still remember the first, it was like literally the first week we were living together. We had a two bedroom apartment. He had the master bedroom with a nice bathroom and everything, and I little one. And Dave and I were living together for like a week, and he was on the phone with his mom in the kitchen, and I go in to take a shower.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in and I was going to shave first. So I put shaving cream all over my face. I don't have any clothes on, like I just had a towel on. And I just took my towel off, and I took like literally like a washcloth, and I just like held it up in front of my junk, and just like walked out into the kitchen where he was standing, and so I'm just holding that in front of my junk thing, and he's like on the phone with his back to me. I go, hey, do you know what the tape measure is? And he just turns around and looks at that. And he just freezes and just gets so annoyed with me. And I just stood there and stared at him.
And, you got to pull the ice cold freeze
yeah,
there.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He did, do you guys know, because you guys are video game guys? You're a video game guy?
Yeah.
It's the one where the guy, it's kind of like in like Renaissance Fair time, and he's like, shoot, he's got like
Assassin's
a hood on.
Creed.
Assassin's Creed. Yes. Yeah, like Monty
Python. It's literally the only video game I've played in the past 20 years.
Okay,
I think.
Assassin's Creed. So yeah, he would play that forever. And basically, like, all I remember, like, I'm not good at video games, and I would watch him. And I felt like forever all he would do was just like crawl on roofs.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you do. You just crawl on roofs.
My son plays like it. Viciously stab somebody.
Yeah, my son plays it, and the one they have now was in like colonial times.
Yeah.
And that's, he's like jumping across the roofs, and then he jumps down and stabs someone, then goes back up. I'm like, what is the point of this game? You're like,
stab people.
Yeah, you're like,
stab people
the
without
worst
them
person in the world. Like, you're just jumping down, stabbing people,
killing people,
and then going away. Like, there's a dead person here. Like, I was like, what is the point of this game? And he's like, well, you got to sneak out. I was like, oh, I'm done.
What's crazy is when you're actually playing it and you sneak up on somebody and stab them like in public and then get off without anybody seeing you.
Right.
It's like the greatest feeling in the world.
Just whistle. You're like, hey, maybe I can do this in real life. So what I did one time is I just took a – because he has that long like – you know, like
the towel.
And I just took a towel and I like had some rope. So I just rope around my head. And I went outside of our apartment. And we were like kind of on the first floor, but it was kind of raised. But we had this little balcony. And I climbed out the window, I guess, and then just like shimmied across the balcony, and I'm just like crawling on it. And he's sitting there playing on the couch, and like I'm in his peripheral, and like I just keep crawling back and forth the little thing, and finally he sees me and just gets sad about his life.
Yeah, those video games like that will take hours out of your life, and then
the worst
part is like the PlayStation tells you how long you've sadly been playing this game.
It's like not as bad as the Wii where they tell you to take a break.
Stand up and stretch.
I think it's pretty pathetic to like waste hours a day playing video games, but literally what I would do is sit there for hours and watch him play video games. So I couldn't even get that. I didn't have the satisfaction of playing. I would literally sit there and watch him play.
I remember one day I had like a random off day. I used to travel a bunch, so I'd get like weird weekday comp days off and stuff like that. And I bought one of those little mini keg things that Heineken has. They're not like the pony kegs, but they're like the small ones. But I sat there and like literally had it between my legs, just having and drinking. And I think I was playing Assassin's Creed. It was either that or Madden.
The
first only two
time,
games I've pretty much played since
the first
like
Nintendo,
time.
The first time I realized how sad it was PlayStation 3. I was playing Metal Gear, the new one, when it first came out. And I finally beat it. It was like, your time is 26 hours and 7 minutes. I was like, holy shit, I have really been playing the equivalent of a full day. Like, I have played the equivalent of a full day on a video game, doing nothing with my life but playing this game.
Nothing better than a video game.
And I only got it about
like
3 weeks.
One of the greatest feelings in the world. The video game piss is like the greatest. All right, so we're going to take a break. We're going to have Brian on the other side, Brian Posehn. You can see him all weekend at Helium, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Which would be the 13th, 14th, 15th.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Yep.
And then you can see Chip next week, Wednesday, November 19th at Helium. So go to heliumcomedy.com. It's the next two shows, basically. Brian first and then Chip. We'll take a break. We'll have Brian on the other side. Who's playing us out? Oh, it's an acoustic female cover of an Arctic Monkeys song. So,
nice.
Do you mind? That's the new theme, by the way, in case you're wondering. All breaks are going to be random covers of random things. One of them is Enema by Tool.
Yeah? Can I sing November Rain?
Yes, you can.
Acoustic?
Yeah, I think it's already.
Acapella?
It's kind of acoustic.
Acapella?
Yeah.
By myself?
I feel like you'd have to go like speed metal on that one to like actually change it.
Yeah,
it's kind of kind of already at that point. Anyway, so we're going to take a break. We're going to have Brian on the other side. And then we got like a billion topics to talk about. Ray McDonald is free to beat his wife again.
He should be.
The male cat calling is the new black. Everybody's doing that. Their version of the male cat. The Jets fan one was funny, though.
Yeah, it was actually funny.
Orlando Thomas. We were supposed to have Artie Lang on last week, literally the day before his blow up. Chip's got a good Corvette divorce story, so we're going to have that one.
My personal tale.
Teacher suspended over tweet, which Chip will also have. And then Big Hank died, by the way. sucks.
You know, should we also talk about the Ravens cheerleader who raped the 15-year-old?
Oh, yeah. And wow. every hacky comedian has to say, oh, she didn't rape him. She made dreams come true or whatever. You know?
Every single one.
Yeah, I know. It's like Greg Giraldo did that in like 97, I think.
Yeah.
And that was it. Anyway, so we'll see after Brian Posehn's interview. I'm sure it's a ding-dang-dee of a doozy of a good one. Check him out this weekend, heliumcomedy.com, and then check out Chip right after that, November 19th. Good day.
Little black submarines, operator, please put me back on the line. Told my men I'd be back, operator. This is wrecking my mind. Oh, can it be? The voices calling me, they get lost and out of time.
And welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 71. We have a very special guest, a repeat guest, actually. We had him on here about a year and a few months ago. I'm a huge fan of him. I'm a speed metal fan myself, so we kind of have that in common. Plus, he's a hilarious comedian from Comedians of Comedy. Been on tons of sitcoms, been doing some great things. And my second mic here, Shelton's a huge fan of his Deadpool thing, so we're going to talk about that a bunch. But he's here at Helium all weekend, the 13th, 14th, and 15th. So without any further ado, Brian Posehn. Brian, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for joining us. It's been a year and a few months, I think, since we last spoke. Kind of what's been going on since then?
Just a bunch of things comedically. Just working on a new stand-up album. Almost there with the material, and then I'll probably record it right after the first of the year, and then doing a full metal comedy record with Scott Ian. Been working on that for a while.
Nice.
But a lot of it's been really coming together just lately. Starting to get guest solos from all these amazing guitar players. It's a fun project, and then doing Deadpool full time, for Marvel Comics. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to talk about Deadpool in a minute. I'm just more curious about the comedy album with Scott Ian. Who have you had as a guitarist or musical guest?
We just got a solo from Gary Holt from the Exodus player.
Yeah.
Alex Skolnick did a solo. Looking like Kim Thayil from Soundgarden doing one.
Wow.
It's crazy the way things are coming together. So, the singer for Huntress, this girl Jill Janis, is doing this really crazy song with me where we trade back vocals. I won't even tell you the premise. It's so dumb, but
That's awesome, man. Now you're on Metal Blade Records, correct? Or is that my way off?
No, Megaforce.
Megaforce, gotcha.
We went with Megaforce, yeah.
Nice, nice. Which very cool.
It's crazy. Being a metalhead from the 80s to be on that label when, some of the first thrash records I bought were on Megaforce,
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. It's full circle. That's really awesome. So Shelton's on the line here. I know he wants to talk to you about Deadpool.
It's funny that we're talking to you today because I was just telling him last night about the Dusty Strumpets line about the Kardashians, and she comes out with her terrible picture today. What do you think about that one?
Oh man, I have not been a fan since the beginning. But I'm like too old to kind of give a crap about her. I really spend my time thinking about other things.
I was telling him about the line though, because this is delivered by Ben Franklin, so it's like, it's a slap in the face, but it's not quite coming directly from you.
And I love that that it's them, but that's the one thing so far in like 2 years that Marvel hasn't let us do. I wanted to officially kill the Kardashians, and people get just in the book. But,
if it was the early 90s, you'd probably still be able to get away with it.
They wouldn't let us do that. We had to change their likeness and you know, and of course not name them at all.
How's the new Deadpool coming out?
That things are good, man. We're in it for a while, at least till they fire us, or you know, whatever happens. I know post-Axis, we've still got some stuff, but you know, there's big things in the Marvel Universe next year, so
Will you have anything to do with the movie also?
I really hope so. It seems people are getting on the internet, you know, forcing them to listen to me and Jerry's ideas. But no, man, you know, at this point, not yet. But, I've talked to people about getting in there at some point.
That'd be great.
Just because the script's supposed to be in good shape, but it would be nice to, you know, if they need more fart jokes, I think I know it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love, by the way, I know it's I think it's the one of the best album names ever, by the way, The Fartist. That was one of my favorites, my favorite names ever for an album.
Thanks. It's just meant to be dumb, and the whole thing was like Pat and Fart and Wiener jokes. Not the first one, Nerd Rage, was that one was kind of hard when I would do promotions, people wouldn't know how to say it. Was it Riven or Live in Their Rage? But Fart and Wiener jokes and The Fartist, I wrote those. I came up with those titles for the purpose of what promotion was going to be like, you know, going on radio shows. I had to do NPR with The Fartist.
That's awesome.
This guy doing the NPR tone, really high, you know, highbrow of comedian, writer, latest album, The Fartist.
That's great. Very cool.
I have the dream now.
When's the album come out with the? Well, I guess first, yeah. When's the album come out with the Scotty Inn?
No date yet. I mean, it doesn't even have a name at this point.
Okay.
We've just got a bunch of songs, and it's coming together just lately, but. Open, man, it would be great to have it spring of next year, but, I think you got to have everything done at least 4 months before it can come out, so I don't know. It's really up to me and Scott getting up our butts and finishing it, but like I said, it's just the new stuff lately. It's been, I'm so stoked on it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. I don't think that's really never been done, I'm assuming, like from a metal standpoint.
No, I don't think so. I can't think of anybody. I know Jim Brewer's working on an album too, a metal comedy record, but I think he has more of like a regular band. I don't think it's just full of like, you know, the guy that started Anthrax and SOD to write all the music with me. You know?
right.
And then I've got Brendan Small from Metalocalypse wrote two songs.
Right.
And just, you
know, that's awesome.
Their buddies, it's really coming. It's crazy how well it came together. But
very cool. That's awesome. Good deal. And when are you gonna start? I know you said you're working on the new special. When do you expect that one to come out?
Again, you know, it's more like we'll try to shoot it up the first of the year, and then hoping, you know, spring.
Nice.
Spring. Get it out there.
Very cool. Yeah. So people, let's talk about your Helium show. So people that, you know, maybe saw you the last time around, what can they expect kind of, as far as material? Is there a big change or is it just kind of, new jokes, but similar tone? What's your kind of your
new jokes on the same, same subject. I mean, I still hate myself and I still think Spartans are funny and I hate the new Star Wars. nothing's changed, but it's new material about the same topics, pretty much.
I like it. Just have George Lucas keep coming out with movies every few years, you know?
Yeah, watch that now. You're going to be with him under the Marvel banner with Disney now.
Yeah.
Angry water cooler talk.
Yeah, no, I haven't gotten reprimanded yet.
Awesome, man. Well, Brian, we'll wrap things up. So everybody go check him out. He's going to be here at Helium this weekend. 13th, 14th, and 15th are going to be great shows. One show on Thursday, two on Friday, two on Saturday. You're not doing Sunday, correct, Brian?
No.
Okay, cool.
So,
good deal. So
thanks,
yeah, no problem. And we'll make sure we put your Twitter handle up and all that good stuff on the website, and we'll tweet you once it'll probably be out. We already recorded the rest of everything, so it'll probably be out by like noon tomorrow.
Cool.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brian. All right, man. You have a good one. Thanks.
She's
a silver lining, lone ranger riding through an open space. In my mind, when she's not right there beside me, I go crazy, cause here isn't where I wanna be. Anxiety, distraction, feels like a distant memory. And I can't help myself all night. What I hear her say is, are you mine? Are you mine? Are you mine?
Get those nerds!
Welcome back to the Comedy Food Sports Podcast, episode 71 of Kenny Malkin, in case we are still wondering.
Yes.
Who wears 71? I want to thank Brian Bussain for calling in. He was hilarious, I'd assume.
He was.
We'll find out tomorrow, technically, but, you know, it's
I
all
didn't
pre-recorded.
Care for him very much.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he had a bit of an attitude.
Yeah, he's pretty arrogant, you know. He's kind of got that narcissistic mentality, very Hollywood. Yeah, he stopped smoking pot, though. That was pretty random.
Did he really?
Yeah. That was a while ago, so maybe he started back again. Yeah,
hopefully.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I would figure that if you read some of the Deadpool comics.
Yeah.
Probably so.
Yeah, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, so we just found this out during the break that Chip has actually signed on with us to be our third mic forever. So,
yes. I'm here.
So sorry, Booker's.
I'm
Tuesday
here. I'm actually moving. I'm moving
off.
In.
Yep.
I got my duffel bag. Yeah. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, technically, they're. Yeah. I don't know. I pointed over there. Like, people at home can see the bed over
in
there.
In the back cubby.
Yeah. Technically, that, like, if you sign up for Fios or anything like that, they have, like, two apartments in this place, like a separate apartment at
yeah,
some point.
Perfect.
I don't
yeah.
know how people, like, would come in and, like, they shared the kitchen or something.
Yeah, totally make it happen.
Yeah, there's lots of cubby holes for dead bodies and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I feel like
sweet.
Like some elves would come out of that door.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
The elf door.
Huge.
There's a lot of tiny doors in this.
Yeah, it's really weird.
There's a lot of tiny people.
It's just like, all part of the roof.
Like,
basically.
Somebody went to, like a door. What do you call it? Door store?
Doors.
I got an order for you. All
yeah,
right.
Yeah. You're not gonna believe.
No.
We just kept coming back. He was like, "Oh, you got a 4-foot door? I want to see if you do a 2-foot door."
Yeah. It's like it's just like the Russian nesting dolls of doors. Like you just keep pulling one
exactly.
out of the other.
Yeah. I don't want to do the visual, but they're basically like. It's basically like plywood. That one's, I think, the only normal door. Anyway, enough
these
visual humor.
Doors that Mr. T breaks through. On
they do look they do. Like them, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Like, I literally just want, and we talked about midgets the last time, so I want to say little people. But, like, I want, it literally looks like little people should, like, have, like, the monkeys, like, when they're getting chased by the cops, and, like, they run the one door, and then you got the other door.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it looks
the
like.
Keystone cops. Yeah. Or they go into the one as a little person to come out the other side as a full-size person, as they call it.
By the way, I do have to say that I've been admiring this book, Raising Children Compassionately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I would just love it if, like, you just, like, lost it one day and, like, started smacking your kid with it. Shit out!
I was like,
this freaking, bullshit.
That movie Saved, that great, and Mandy Moore was actually in it. It was a phenomenal dark comedy on like, Christianity.
Really?
And she throws her Bible at somebody at some point, and she's like, I am full of the Lord's love, or something like that, and smacks her in the head with it. It's a phenomenal. Really, really good movie. Like, very dark and twisted look at Christianity.
I feel like I always get involved. Like, especially if my girlfriend comes with me, like, if I have, like, a weekend away or whatever at a show, and, like, we'll be in the we'd just be sitting around the hotel room, and like always, you know, it's like 2 p.m. on a Saturday. Like it's like too late to like go out and do something. Like yeah, we went yeah. for lunch, but now I got to get ready for my show. So maybe let's say it's like 4-5 o'clock on a Saturday. I'm just waiting for my show. Mm. And some like rom-com comes on.
Yeah.
So we end up just sitting there watching it. Right. And I feel like every movie I watch, like Mandy Moore dies in it. Like there was the one that we just kept getting sicker and sicker. And it's just like, all right, Mandy Moore's going to die in this one again.
It's her sad career in movies.
Yeah. No, Saved was phenomenal, by the way. I cannot recommend it enough. It's a very dark and twisted look. It's like a combination of like Juno meets Hardcore Christians.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, yeah, it's really, really good.
Did you ever see a short documentary, Jesus Camp? Did you ever see Jesus Camp?
No, I haven't seen it. I remember I think it was coming out.
It might even be on Netflix. It really came out about 10 years ago.
Yeah, I remember it was really, MySpace. It was all over MySpace.
Yeah, really crazy. And they actually
and it was pro Jesus Camp. Like the documentary was very pro. It wasn't like
it was but like they had some like weird stuff going on, and they had the one guy, I forget, I think he was from Colorado.
Yeah.
The one reverend, like the big mega church guy.
Oh yeah.
And they were interviewing him, and he was such a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he was outwardly just a dick to this kid, and then it turns out literally 6 months after the documentary, that's when he was like arrested for like he was like smoking crystal meth with a male prostitute.
Yeah, I was living in, I totally was like, I mean, it was like bigger than like the Clinton Lewinsky story.
Really?
It was huge. I'm gonna have to look up his name because the other guys there too, that focus on the family guys out there.
Yeah.
Ted, whatever his name is, or maybe
Bundy.
Ted
Bundy.
Ted.
Focus on the family.
Focus on the family. He said SpongeBob SquarePants was gay.
Yeah.
The focus on the family guy, whoever he was.
He's not far.
So he sent that guy to.
That's not Joel Alstein, is it?
No, that guy's Texas.
Texas.
Yeah, he's at a minor league hockey stadium.
Yeah,
that's where he does. That's where his church is, quote unquote.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
He sold out the Staples Center.
Yeah,
sold it out. Nice. And then on top of that, he had another 100,000 people in the parking lot watching it on the.
I think 10% really? Went to the church.
I don't want to name. I can tell you off the air, but I don't want to name the comedian. And it's one of the last comedians you would ever guess. And I think he's actually gone to see Joel Osteen a couple times.
Really?
And he's not like a super religious guy or anything like that.
Just a motivational thing.
Just like a motivational thing. And
I'll
tell you. Take it for what it's worth. Yeah, I can see that.
I guess
but,
so. Yeah,
but I mean,
use it. But
yeah, Ted Hager. Oh.
Ted Hager. Is that
Ted Hager? Yeah.
Is it something like that?
Yeah, I do remember
I think
that.
It is Ted Hager.
Okay, talk amongst yourselves.
And he was just so smart. I'm not Catholic, and I'm not super religious by any stretch.
Yeah.
I was brought up a Lutheran, I'm very into the Pope right now. Like I'm like
the
this guy's
Pope
shaping stuff
cool.
up.
Yeah,
like it's kind of
yeah, he's the cool
like,
guy.
I've never been Catholic or anything, but it's
Santa classes right now. So
okay.
And the change in their views on like. Everyone in the room raised their hand that we all live together with our spouse or our, you know, soon to be spouse.
Right.
And so, I mean, it's inferred. Yeah, you're sleeping together, but they kind of just gloss over it and try to ignore it
right.
without asking you. But they're like, you know, when it comes to sex, when you're ready for that, and you're like, really?
Yeah.
You just asked if we all live together. Like, you know what's going on.
Right. Exactly.
But it's just crazy because that their point of view is so different than what you would think about the church up to this point, but yeah, it's still to me, you know, still $1,000 for the church that we're using. So
yes,
I'm like, where's that money going to?
But it's kind of like I feel like, but like I just like how the fact that like you think everything's going to change because it's the Pope, so he's like, I'm changing the rules, and that's but like all the rank and file is like still not down.
No, they're not down. They don't like that he's doing it. But the fact of the matter is, he's bringing people back who. Left because of the thoughts, so
absolutely.
You can't argue with the money that's going to come back in.
Oh yeah,
it's like one of those things. It's like, how are you going to put him down if he's bringing money back in? And you guys were scared away by touching fucking children. So
exactly.
At this point, like you know,
and like they're just. I just like how these guys are just running around in circles. Like it's like the Pope is like Mark Harmon in summer school. They're like, he shouldn't be doing it this way. Well, it's working. The kids passed the test.
They're all in.
Surely they cheated.
So yeah, it was Ted Haggard, by the way.
Ted Haggard. Yeah.
Like
I feel like the Pope. Like he's like he shows up like late for work,
yeah.
And it's like in an 80s movie where he's got sandals, he's like skateboarding,
yeah,
and he's got like jams and like a Hawaiian shirt over top of a t-shirt, and he's like skateboarding out to,
or like the, he's got the tuxedo t-shirt on,
yeah.
yeah,
the bagel tucked down his shirt, yeah. Like Spicoli.
when he turns a corner, there's like the triple take, kind of like Sandler and Farley at the like the gay Schmitz gay pool. Yeah, they do that triple move. And there's like seven of them.
What?
And there's just like one Pope playing the sax in the background. Yeah. Like the, not
his best.
Well, and then there's the old Pope too, who's still around.
He's still hanging out.
Yeah. He's like, "What have I done?"
And that's what's even worse because it's like he now is to blame for this guy taking over.
Yeah.
And I'm sure none of his Pope friends like him anymore. Like, you're an asshole.
And I'm sure he's not happy with the guy either. Like, this guy was pretty.
He threw him under the bus. Like, can you wait till two popes down the road before you start doing that?
Yeah.
He almost picked a black one. So, at some point, it's going to happen.
But he was German.
German black dude, yeah.
Black German. I don't know how that can go.
Coming out this fall, Jew Pope.
Exactly. So should we run down the list? Mel Gibson, yeah, that would be perfect, actually. So we weren't going to do that Chris Carter one yet. I got to cue up the audio. It's just a great scene where Keyshawn's like, but you can spank him now. Like, just this whole, like,
he everybody just like glosses awkwardly, over that. Yeah,
everybody like, awkwardly kind of looks at him. Ray Lewis is just keeping his mouth shut because, you know, he's like, I beat the shit out of my
kids. Ray Lewis is like, he's all the legal stuff, he just kind of stays away from.
He's like,
send it to Trent Dilfer. I'm not ruining this gig.
So Ray McDonald is free.
Yeah, and now it actually looks hard for fighting him. Yeah, because now it looks like they did the right thing, because if they would have suspended him, then they're the assholes because he wasn't charged.
Yeah, the Players Association would be suing the owners or something crazy like that.
And that's the thing that I always go back to, which is weird, because, you know, you're like the whole Adrian Peterson thing or whatever it is. It's like they did something awful or they did whatever. But if they're not found convicted in a court of law, like that's something that we – like one of the worst things you can do is, you know, we hear about like a child molester or something like that.
Yeah.
One of the worst things you do. But whenever I hear about that, as I hate when people get trigger happy and they're like, you know, kill him, execute him right away. It's like, no, let's see what happens. Because it's like, government, like as a teacher – like, I could be in that same situation.
Absolutely.
Some kids would go, teacher. I'm like, you know, and
that
like.
That was my number one fear working with kids. Is that some little girl might just say, oh, well, he touched me. Well, he touched me. At him.
Exactly. Yeah, and like, that's.
No.
I don't want to have anything to do with that. Okay. And so whenever I hear about that, as awful as it is, you always want to give somebody.
Due process.
And then if they're found guilty in a court of law, absolutely. But it's
like Sandusky was like 7 days. You're guilty. We're not even putting you.
I think the worst part for me, honestly, it still sticks in my head, is when they said, what's his name, talked about the rhythmic slapping.
Oh, God, like, that's right. I thought you were going to talk about McCreary.
Yeah, you're like, it's just so graphic. Yeah. So that guy knows that.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it is.
Well, which totally ruined it because rhythmic slapping was the name of my band in high school.
Totally. Just seven bases.
Yeah,
seven Victor Wooten wannabes playing bass. <Yeah. laughs>
Definitely gone now.
Oh, the other shady thing, by the way, is there's a cop on like the San Diego police force, or not San Jose police force, Santa Clara, that's what it is. I don't remember what it was, whatever police force it was actually called. He was running security at the party, so they were having all kinds of problems with the investigation because apparently he was covering up a lot of shit and stuff like that. So long story short is he beat his fiance and he's got away with it.
I mean maybe
allegedly.
The worst part about it,
if
is
he
like,
did, she'd be fucked up. He's a monster.
Yeah, he's a huge dude. The worst part about it too though is for the women, like, you got like, do I say anything and lose the $5 million a year that I'm easily getting in free shoes all the time?
Yeah, you're gonna stick with it anyway.
Yeah, jeopardize my husband's football career, or do I just take the beatings and then go buy some new Jimmy Choo shoes? And call it a day. What do you do? I mean, personally, I'm taking a right and buying a new car.
Yeah,
that's it.
I think it's the difference between like. Like, as like a football player, like that's as a wife of a football player, unfortunately, that's something you have to deal with.
Yeah,
I think like the wife of a comedian just has to be like, he's just gonna be sad a lot and want to watch the Office reruns.
He's gonna push buttons on me whenever I say something.
Yeah,
he's gonna try to make me angry. That's about it. He's not gonna hit me.
Like, I'm never gonna be taken to court for being passive aggressive. Like, that's never gonna be.
Well, you didn't close the shower, but hey, who am I to talk?
Somebody. If somebody would have reminded me. No, nothing's wrong. Nothing's wrong.
Chip Fletcher is in the news today for passively aggressively beating his wife.
You know, there's such thing as verbal abuse.
There is. So Orlando Thomas died ALS.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts. It's all because you guys didn't do the ALS bucket challenge.
It is. I didn't pour enough ice on my head.
Yeah, I didn't.
I actually didn't.
Pat House is calling me on the phone right now, and I'm ignoring him. Just so you know, that's how important this is.
He's been too busy for us.
He's a little too.
He's big time on Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call you back, Pat House.
You didn't even get back to me. Of course, it was like an hour before we were recording. But
Pat House, another former roommate of mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
She had wild roommates.
Were you in Springfield or no?
No, in Philly. We were in. He was actually just. I was with Kent Haynes then. Kent Haynes was Philly's funniest year.
Okay.
So it was the joke that I always live with Philly's funniest people, but I was never Philly's funniest. So finally won. But then, so it was David and then Kent. And then when Kent moved out, Pat moved in for like, I think like 4 months or so. And
nice.
We had a killer. It was like having a sleepover every night. Like that's what it was. Like, we had our G.I. Joes out.
It's awesome.
Put pajamas
like
on.
Matchbox car races.
Yeah,
you crash and you have the funeral for the for the driver and everything. That's pretty, you know, in depth, but you know. Bill Cosby put out a Twitter thing. Obviously, it was his people, but but
it's probably someone.
I just love that people did not even like come close to holding back. Not that I would expect them to, but I love that it was like
just.
But they were actually creative about it too, like the. The cake face is my favorite. Where he's like, remember
great.
When I ate cake? Let's remember that stuff instead of the rape stuff.
Twitter is either your best friend or your worst friend in the world. And when you've done something that people will remember, and you're at a high status like that, it's the worst thing you can do is ask people to.
Oh God, yeah. R. Kelly did it too,
yeah, exactly.
Like a few months ago, and it was the same thing.
Or the one like the CEO from Citibank or whatever, who was saying something about tweet us ideas, and then everyone just start talking about like the foreclosures and everything.
Right, exactly.
Why would you do that? You're an idiot.
My favorite still, that last one's definitely my favorite. This is rape. No, wait, not rape, something else. He's like off. It's his thought bubble, basically. We almost had Hannibal Buress for that one, too. We missed Artie Lang and Hannibal Buress.
Hannibal.
Like back-to-back. Yeah. We were supposed to have him, potentially have him that week, too.
He would have easily picked up 13 people.
You just think of, like, all the people, like...
the Electric Factory.
To have that, like, Cosby's just, like, Mr. Like, he's, like, the one guy that can't do anything.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
You're just like, oh, the world is just...
It would be like Ken Griffey. It turns out Ken Griffey's on roids.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's actually A-Rod's supplier.
Yeah.
He's, like, A-Rod's go-to guy.
Yeah. I don't really care about the Eminem thing.
Yeah, but...
references Ray Rice and then beating Lana Del Rey, who I don't even know who that is.
I'm terrified now. Actually, all the good rappers are all 40 and older. That's a sad thing. Like,
because
all the crap that's out now is
Kobe Bryant's 6 months older than me.
Like,
who I'm always
Eminem's just gonna go through. He's like, what rhymes with sciatica?
Exactly.
dementia.
Exactly.
Yeah,
so there's a teacher suspended over the tweet. Did you look at that?
I did see that. Yeah.
What was the tweet?
She got very angry. She it was something about Ferguson.
That's right.
And about it's like, how dare these crackers, these effing crackers.
Oh.
And then it was like, and then she even said, kill yourself. I thought that was like the worst.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I don't think anybody knows exactly what she's referring to specifically. Like if she got if there was like a specific tweet that she got. But she just
went all
unloaded.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
It was, who the fuck made you dumb duck ass crackers? Think I'd love duck ass, by the way. That would be my favorite. Think I'd give a squat shit? You going with shit? Yeah, squat shit about your opinions, about my opinions. Ree Ferguson, kill yourself. I was trying to figure out what you were saying.
I'm just impressed how much wordage she got into one tweet.
Yeah,
that is pretty impressive. Like, I'm just impressed by that.
I think they allowed her. I think she paid the extra $5 to get the, the 20 characters.
20 characters more.
Stretch it out.
Dude, Twitter is just the worst. Twitter is the worst. If you have a temper, you should not be on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what's his name? The annoying guy on ESPN now, Herm Edwards, Jets coach. He's always like, just don't hit send.
Yeah.
It's like, type it out. Just don't hit send.
Don't even type it out.
Nothing good happens after midnight. That's his other one.
Yeah.
Those are his two that he always says.
And the thing with these people that they don't get, like with the Cosby thing, you're just going to be a target.
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you're going to be a target. Whether or not, even take away the rape thing, people are still going to make fun
of Bill Cosby. Love you or hate you, there's somebody out there who is just going to be an ass, just to be an ass.
And you can't engage. And that's the thing that people do, is like even with my, very little, like every once in a while, while, like, somebody will comment or say something shitty about my comedy or like, oh, he sucks or whatever. I don't say anything because if I jump into that, then it's just the worst.
And it makes you look
bad. I
didn't
mean it personally when I said it anyway.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty.
It all just it makes you look bad because you're the one who's the target. And it's like you can't have the thick skin, so you might as well just fucking chalk it up to.
Although, you know who the one person I will say is amazing at that? Who's the guy? He's a British singer. He had the beautiful song. You're beautiful.
Oh, James Blunt.
Have you seen what he does on Twitter?
No, but that dude actually seems like he'd be cool shit to hang out with.
He's actually pretty funny. Very funny. And he goes onto Twitter and, like, people will be like, James, and, like, they'll just say, like, just say the worst thing about him.
Yeah.
And he'll respond to it, but, like, in just, like, a very, like, just nice way. Like, I would rather kill myself than, you know, like, listen to James Blunt one more time. And he's like, and he would just write, I really hope you don't do that.
But
it's hilarious. And it just, because you know, it just makes people.
Yeah, even more.
Because when you're a nobody, you're just putting out tweets like, oh, he's never going to see this. And then hopefully it humanizes people. It's like, oh, he actually read that. And he's just very eloquent, and it's hysterical when he responds. He's actually very, very funny.
I have to follow him.
I actually started following him because he actually is really funny.
Yeah, it actually makes, and that's the thing, like, that actually makes Twitter worse because everyone else, it's just back and forth, like, oh, you suck at this and that. Like,
Dude,
if you can just be funny about it like that, it's great.
Yeah, there's some really random kind of quasi-comedians that are amazing on Twitter that I could just read all day long. Like, one guy, I forgot who it was. It was like the All-Star game 2 years ago, the baseball All-Star game. And he had nothing on Twitter all night, and he was a very active Twitter guy. And he just chimes in at the end, and they just got dinner interviewing Bud Selig. And he just put Bud Selig. He's like, good night.
That's amazing.
He did nothing on Twitter for the next day. I was like, that's so awesome.
That's great.
Oh, all right. So what else do we have? Is that what's the story of the Corvette thing? It's not pulling up for me.
I thought it was the greatest story in the world
that
at
is
first.
Awesome.
It was yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
So yesterday afternoon, a Corvette, a red Corvette, drove into the Delaware River.
Yeah.
And I was like, good. Like, let that.
And it was like a 1990 Corvette.
Yeah. Nobody cares. Yeah. Some douchebag uncle, he's got way too much money.
Yeah.
And he's like making up for his midlife crisis, just being a dick. And he went in the water. I'm like, good. And I tweeted, it's like, oh, Philadelphia residents are urging, rescue crews to get to it whenever they get around to it. And so I was like, so I thought that was the end of the story.
Yeah.
And then an hour later comes back that the dude drove his estranged wife's red Corvette. He did it on purpose. And then just got out and just walked out.
He swam back to shore.
Yeah.
He swam back to shore. Put a brick down or anything and died.
Swam back to shore and walked out. And told the people who were watching, just don't say anything.
Wow. Yep. Oh, there are people around?
Yeah, there are people around. Yeah.
Dude, just left.
Awesome.
Now, and then obviously the rational person is like, and yes, he put rescue crews
in danger.
Danger because somebody goes in there to try to even just to salvage the thing. They could get hurt. They could drown, whatever. But it's still badass.
Yeah.
It's so much cooler.
You know, he pictured it in his head of him just walking away 80s style.
Set the fire. Yeah,
like there's an explosion. And he's just walking out, just lighting a cigarette.
Exactly. Some dude standing there with a guitar.
So everybody's just staring as he walks by. Like, they don't even acknowledge him. They just have their mouth open.
He just makes out
with some random girl for no reason.
He's got some shitty, pun or, like James Bond. Careful, there's a stingray in the water.
Exactly. As he walks away.
It was like Family Guy when he kept trying to come up with a good line when he's killing Stewie.
Yeah.
looks like he dialed the wrong number or something like that. That one still doesn't make sense.
That's one of those things that everyone wishes they could do with their estranged ex-wife. And he told her about it, too. He told her he's going to do it.
Did he? Is that what happened?
Yeah, the police guy sounded like a four-year-old. He said, He said he told his wife he's going to do it, and then he decided to drive into the water, swam out, and then told everyone, hey, don't say anything.
Yeah.
They were just going to be like, oh, all right.
And I think what we've done so far tonight, hopefully, is we've given two ways to deal with a crazy spouse, especially a wife, for this example, is slap the shit out of her, Or you know what? Let's not be violent. Let's just drive a Corvette into the water. Yeah, exactly. I think we can.
I think those are the best options.
I think that's the. I think that's the less violent option is like.
I feel like the Corvette in the water is the way to go.
Yeah, you have to. That's the way you got to go. You don't.
She owned the Corvette though. I want to meet her now because I'm intrigued by just her whole like.
Yeah.
It's a '90s Corvette. She's got that white snake hair going on.
She has to. You would assume so.
Still has a leather jacket.
Yeah,
within a block or two.
Yes,
that smoker's raspy voice. I don't know why he took my car, but I'm gonna get that son of a bitch.
Just got the leopard print put in on the seats,
and it just says she's on the news, like they're interviewing her, and it's like Marge Johnson, and then like Marge Johnson, and then like on the bottom it just says kind of deserved it, you know.
Exactly.
Now we know why.
She's currently drives a Dodge.
She's selling her K car. I think she's got K car all over.
K car
with the sticker. My other car's a Porsche.
Exactly. All right, cool. So we're gonna take one last break. We're gonna check out the things rolling up now. Now I'm going to find out why the guy drove into the Delaware River. The article just came up. We're going to take a quick break. It's going to be our last break, and then we'll close out. We're going to make some predictions about the football weekend and stuff like that, and we'll close things out. Again, make sure you check out Chip on November 19th, 8 o'clock show, heliumcomedy.com. Do you have a
Mark
website
Sanchez
too?
Chipchantry.com.
Chipchantry.com and at Chip Chantry on Twitter.
Chip Chantry. He's a hell of a follow. I will testify to that.
Well, thank you, sir.
We'll see you in a couple minutes. Enjoy some random cover song by some kind of people. Good day.
Why can't we not be sober? Just want to start this over. Why can't we drink forever? Just want to stop this. Oh.
And we are back. Episode 71. Evgeny Malkin. Still going with him. Can't think of anybody else still.
Still be
I feel like there's somebody else I can't think of. I feel like there's a random baseball player with 71. I don't know.
That's a weird baseball number.
61's like more popular than you'd think because we went through that.
Yeah.
It was like Josh Beckett and a couple other people.
71,
like that.
Though, that's a weird number.
It is very odd. Yeah, I don't think I could find anybody except for Evgeny Malkin and like a random, random.
I'm picturing it has to be a big guy for 71. Like that.
You'd have that seven.
Yeah, it's got to be a wide back.
Got to have some broad shoulders.
You can't just be having that as a regular dude.
All right, so we're going to rapid-fire go through the NFL games this week, and then we're going to wrap things up. Before we go, though, make sure you check out Chip November 19th, Wednesday, 8 p.m. show, heliumcomedy.com, and then Brian Posehn this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 13th, 14th, 15th.
Can I come and heckle you?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. If you want to heckle him.
Just heckle the shit out of you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did a show over here in Jersey this past weekend, two shows, Thursday and Friday and Saturday.
Sarcasm?
Saturday. No, it was a comedy collective. Comedy collective. Vince Valentine, who's great guy. He set up Valerio's down in Sicklerville, New Jersey, and a little south of here. And the Saturday show was awesome. Friday show was awful, and I didn't have a good set. It was terrible, and it was like a small crowd, but there was just four women sitting right at the side of the stage, and they talked to each other loudly the entire show, and I tried to nicely call them on it. Then I had to get a little nasty with them, and they were just so outraged that I would single them out.
Yeah.
How dare me talk to them? Yeah. And so it was in my head the entire show, like they're just talking when I'm trying to think of my next joke.
And
it was an awful show, and I felt bad for the rest of the crowd because those four ladies ruined it for everybody. And then Saturday they weren't there, and it was the most fun.
Can I come be your personal bouncer then? I can just bounce people out. Like
there you
that.
Go.
We do have the black thing.
Yeah, I do. Because
black people can do it. Like, it's a J.L. Colvin joke, so I don't want to steal it from him. But he said if black people just put a security shirt on, they're good. Like, white people, you have a certain build and everything. Right. Black person doesn't matter.
It
you just have a security shirt on.
Just
a
security,
as long as it says security. Actually, I don't have to wear a security shirt. I get stopped, like, if I'm in the bar, they're like, excuse me, I'm looking for, what the fuck are you talking to me for? Like,
exactly.
Why are you talking, not a bouncer? Oh, you're not a whore?
What
are we doing here? Like, Jesus.
Ray McDonald's my fiance, and he just hit me again.
Exactly.
Why are you anybody talking to me? Anything about it?
I'll be your person bouncer. I'll come around and just
That would be amazing.
That'd be very surprising if a comedian has his own personal bouncer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin Hart probably has one.
Oh, you know who else does too? Is my favorite. Cat Williams. Yeah, remember the one
I want my bitch back.
Yeah, he went crazy. Yeah, he went crazy at the show, and they pulled him off the stage.
Took
him to the back. But he's also probably going to get shot to death at some point.
Yeah, sooner or later, yeah.
Hanging around with Suge Knight can't be good.
Yeah, apparently in his latest special, he humps the stool a lot. And he's like the best stool humper ever.
He is.
Yeah. He's like at least top three tactic. At least. Yeah.
Amazing tactic.
All right, let's run down these games. Quick fire picks. Thursday night, Buffalo-Miami in Miami.
Thursday night game? Who holy shit, that's got to go. That's got to go Miami.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Buffalo. Right. It's getting a little colder. Yeah, not down in Miami, but yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
By the way, I'm speaking on zero authority. So that's why I'm saying.
I like it. I'm going to go with Miami. Not that it matters. Minnesota, Chicago.
We're no worse than Cousin Sal, who apparently gets on ESPN every weekend.
Yeah.
I know. It's literally Jimmy Kimmel's
cousin. Yeah, literally just called Cousin Sal.
Yes.
What the fuck, really?
Yes.
He gets a paycheck for that.
Oh, everybody, now that I've, if you listen to Adam Carolla every once in a while and you realize how many people that came from the Man Show and just became something, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, he wrote for, the lowest level of humor ever. And I love the show, but it was, such lowbrow humor.
Juggies on trampolines at the end.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Which is, back then you didn't have the high-speed internet, so, Anyway, Minnesota at Chicago.
I'm going to go Chicago off the Schneid on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicago's got something to prove.
Yeah. Cutler's got to do something at some point, or his career's going to be done.
Yeah.
Houston at Cleveland. First place Cleveland. 5-3.
Ryan Mount's going to be starting for Houston, and I think J.J. Watt rips Hoyer's head off.
Yeah, J.J. Watt's going to be he's angry. Good,
man. Yeah, I think I wanted the Raiders to pick him up. I wanted the Raiders to pick him up before because he has a cannon for an arm.
Yeah.
He can't run, but he has a cannon for an arm. So.
Yeah. Car's got a can.
Car's good now. Yeah.
Seattle at Kansas City.
Ooh.
That's tough. Yeah.
I might have to. What's Kansas City's?
They're surprisingly good. They're 5-3 or something by accident.
Yeah, right. I think that's. I'm gonna. Oof.
Yeah. I gotta say Seattle because they have to keep rolling in order for them to make the playoffs.
Mm.
Yeah, that's true. And
they have to, especially with the Cardinals now. With Carson Palmer going down.
Yeah, I'm going to go Seattle. Seattle's going to swoop that one.
Yeah, I think so, too. Atlanta, Carolina. In Carolina. But I'm still picking still Atlanta. Carolina not looking.
By the way, did you see the stat that Carson Palmer signed with the Raiders for $110 million, and 6 days later he blew his ACL out?
Yeah.
He then signed with Arizona for $50 million, and then 3 days later blew his ACL out.
Yeah. So, well, no, the first one was – technically with the Bengals, right?
Wow. No,
he snapped his leg. Because he snapped his ACL.
It was with the Bengals,
But then the Raiders picked that contract because they're smart. You know? They're like, oh, this guy's not a flight risk at all.
No.
They traded a first round, a third round.
Yeah, they traded ridiculous amounts for it. Gotta love it.
So the Bengals in New Orleans.
And the fact that you get $160 million just for playing football. God.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's a game.
Yeah. What's crazy is basketball players make way more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're guaranteed money.
Yep.
Like, you remember Jody Meeks for the Sixers?
Yep.
So Colin Kaepernick signed that huge contract. Jody Meeks makes more guaranteed money than Colin Kaepernick. Because Colin Kaepernick's got to, basically play and that stuff. Yeah. We'll just pick, two other random games that are of importance. Philly in Green Bay.
That's a tough game.
17-degree high as of right now on Sunday.
Yeah, I never bet for or against Philly because I've learned never to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna say Philly's got they're gonna have a rough. They're on such a roll, but it's gonna be so cold up there.
It's a tough game to win.
It's a really tough game to win.
The only reason I say they're possibly in it is because Darren Sproles can run back any kick.
Yeah. He's a freak,
dude,
man.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I think it's a close one, but I think Green Bay wins at home.
Yeah. I think Green Bay is going to win, too. New England at Indianapolis. We'll close with that one. Since all the other games are garbage.
I think Indy.
I can see them winning that.
I just loathe New England and Tom Brady, so I would love to see Indy.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, we will close on that. What the hell?
Sorry. I still, get a random email. I still feel bad for him ever since I watched that Brady 6. Did you ever see that one?
No.
Oh, good God.
Wait, what?
The Brady six? Did you ever see that? There was six quarterbacks picked before him in the draft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're talking about Tom Brady. They did this like 3 years ago. It was like 30 for 30 kind of thing. It was called 36. You're talking about Tom Brady at this point. Three Super Bowls, married to a fucking, you know, smoking hot supermodel wife.
Right.
They're sitting him down and talking to him. He's like, I remember my dad saying, you know, let's go for a walk around the block. And he's like, I got some friends in insurance. They can get you a job. He's crying. He's crying as he's saying this.
Really?
And he's like, and then all of a sudden the Patriots called. And he was like, I was saved. And he's crying. He's got three Super Bowls, a supermodel wife, $100 million contract.
Yeah.
And this dude is crying like it was yesterday.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit. Like, that's a competitive. That is something that stuck with him. That it was like one of those things that just propelled him. Like, all right.
Well, he was like shit on a cow. So he took over for Brian Greasy. Drew Stanton, right? So he took over for Greasy's kid, who everybody loved. And, he ended up playing at the Broncos. Yeah, and he broke his ankle.
Yeah.
He was like drunk, like literally drunk washing his car, and he like broke his ankle while he was doing that. Like, how did that all? I don't even know. He was drunk in the middle of the night, and he went to like take his dog out, and he fell down the stairs or something in season, though. So he took over for Greasy, who everybody worshipped, and then that Drew Henson was coming in.
When
Brady was like a junior, so it was freshman, sophomore year. Greasy was there, and then he was a junior, the superstar, Drew Henson, who was first picked by the Yankees to play third base, and he was like
came back when he was like 21, decided he didn't want the $50 million contract by the Yankees because he couldn't hit a fastball, so he went back to Michigan to play quarterback.
Yeah.
He was the number one recruit for baseball and football in the country.
Wow. And
so he went back to play.
Those rarely work out, by the way. Tim Couch was the same
Tim
way.
Tim Couch,
he never really worked out.
Whenever you hear about like a – like you see in like Sports Illustrated or whatever, it's like eighth grade phenom.
Yep.
Yeah. Like how many of those actually ever
That's why I thought LeBron James wouldn't be.
Yeah. He's been the exception for sure.
Yeah.
Drew Henson was – They were splitting snaps.
Right?
Everybody
wanted Henson. Like the crowd wanted Henson. Yeah,
the Cowboys picked him up, right?
Yeah.
Like the second
round. He started a bunch of games. Right. Yeah,
and then Brady was in the sixth round, and his dad was. He said his dad was literally walking around the block, like, I know some people in insurance. I can get you a job.
That's crazy.
Can you imagine Brady's insurance salesman?
Yeah, wow.
So and then they said he got there, and they were talking to Kraft. They said Kraft said he walked up. He's like this gangly kid. I'm not even really paying attention to him because we have Drew Bledsoe, our quarterback. He's like, he walks up and he says, "Mr. Kraft, I'm Tom Brady. I'm going to be your future quarterback." And he's like, I'm looking at him like, "Who the hell are you?" Kind of thing. He's like, and
wow.
He's like, that's how the story goes. I'm like, Jesus Christ, like,
that's awesome.
Geez. Yeah, talk about waiting for your chance. But I still don't like him because of the Tuck Rule.
We're both Raiders fans and. Yeah, that infamous Tuck Rule.
Yeah.
Snow.
Yeah.
I was with a bunch of Patriots fans watching that, and they were all like, "Well, all right, see you next year," type thing. You know.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
I was
Brady
and
run is over.
I was standing on the bar because we were going to go play the Steelers, which the Steelers would have been easy for the Raiders that game.
Yeah.
And so the Raiders would have gone to Super Bowl, but they were like, "Wow, he was tucking the ball. The fuck do you mean he's tucking the ball?" I'm still standing on the bar like this. Wait, what? Everyone's looking at me like, get down, asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
The Benatari, they friggin'
And they're like, why is the bouncer up on the bar?
Actually, I was bouncing on the bar. Nice. Yeah. That's one
call,
guy was like, get
call
down,
back
asshole.
Joke. I like it. All right, so we'll see you guys next week. I think we're going to have Jimmy Dore possibly on next week.
Oh, Jimmy Dore's great.
Yeah. Your country's just not that into you. Is this new book? Who's headlining? Helium next weekend?
Joey Diaz. And I'll be Joey there Diaz. The rest of the week with Joey Diaz.
Nice.
So, I'm there Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, I'm featuring for Joey Coco Diaz.
Awesome. Maybe we'll have him on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good times. We'll see what happens. We'll either have Joey Coco Diaz or we'll have Jimmy Dore. Or somebody else. And Chip's signed on us forever.
Forever.
He's always he's stuck here now.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm the Tom Brady of this podcast.
No exactly. Tuesday
just
night
came in late.
No Tuesday night open mics at Helium anymore. I guess you could probably still get here by the time it's over. But anyway. Anyway, we want to thank Chip for coming in, on behalf of Shelton and myself, Patrick, because we never say our names on the show. Throw it in there
really
at the end of this episode. We never do. So weird. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. If you want to support the podcast, go to our website, comedyfoodsports.com. click on the Amazon link when you're doing Amazon shopping, and it helps support the podcast. It's Christmas time. There's lots of stuff to buy. I know you spend a lot of money on Amazon, and you know what? It doesn't cost a dime extra, and we get a very tiny percentage of it. And that's about it. Thanks for listening. We've been having great numbers lately, so we really appreciate it, and all for realsiness. All right. Good day.
I got kids to feed.
Yeah. Soon to be kids. Kids. All right. Now we're going to play off to Temple's a cappella band playing Mumford & Sons or something.
Like a stone, and I fell heavy into your arms. These days of dust, which we've known, will blow away with this new sound. Ah!